Welcome to part two of The Townships at 12. If you're just joining me, I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and you're listening to The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM here in the Eastern Townships. In the second part of today's show, I will be talking with Canadian author Judy Stewart. Judy grew up in Knowlton and now resides in Alberta. She has two books out, Lady Slipper and Enriched Childhood. She is coming back to the townships on May 2nd and will be launching her book, Enriched Childhood, between 2 and 4 p.m. at the Brome Lake Bookstore. We will start part two today with a song called Bookends, and it's by Simon and Garfunkel.
And what a time it was, a time of innocence, a time of confidences. Long ago it must be, I have a photograph. Preserve your memories, they're all that's left you.
It's always a pleasure to shine a light on a Canadian author and who writes about stories right here in our own community, and today is no exception. Joining me now is Judy Stewart. She grew up in Knowlton, a family of 11. She was number 7 in the family. She now lives in Alberta. She's coming back to Knowlton on May the 2nd to do some readings and launch her book, her second book. It's called Enriched Childhood. Through her storytelling, Judy brings us back to simpler times, weaving together moments of childhood, relationships, and personal reflections in a way that really resonates. And I'm very pleased to welcome Canadian author Judy Stewart to the Townships at 12. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Canadian author Judy Stewart to the Townships at 12. Now, Judy grew up in Knowlton. She now lives in Alberta, and she is coming back to the township. She's going to be doing a reading and a book launch at Brome Lake Books on May 2nd, I believe. Is that correct, Judy?
That's right, between 2 and 4.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your life in Knowlton?
Sure. I was born in Sweetsburg, which is near Townsville, many years ago. And I grew up on what we call the old Stagecoach Road in Lost Nation. That's what we called it back then. It's a little community up in the mountain on West Bolton. And I grew up on a farm with 10 other kids. And we spoke English at school. I had lots and lots of French relatives. My mom and dad were both bilingual French Canadians, but they wanted us to go to Protestant school, and it was English speaking. So I was very lucky. I went to grades 1 to 11 in Knowlton, and from there moved on to McDonald's and McGill and became a teacher, etc. So my life in Knowlton, I was one of a 7 of 11. That's what I like to call it. I was baby 7-11. And, you know, it was a lovely life. And that's what made us unique, I think, was our family and growing up in Quebec at that time in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. What a great opportunity. So you're perfectly bilingual. That's wonderful.
Oh, yes. I'm really looking forward to having an opportunity to catch up with any of my old friends who come. I've sent out an invitation to a couple of people who still live there from who went to high school with me. And I'm hoping they come. I'm hoping they'll be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Now, what inspired you to start writing your stories and reflections?
Well, we didn't have a lot of writing materials when I was a child growing up, and the older children in the family jealously guarded them from us little kids, as they called us. But from the time I could get a pencil or a crayon and some paper, I really liked to draw and color and write these little poems and stories. And when I was about 8 or 9, we had this neighbor who was an artist. Her name was Bella Leduc. And she came to visit my mom and have coffee. And she brought me this little notebook and a fountain pen with a bottle, brand new bottle of blue ink. And Bella said, this is Judy because she's going to be an artist and a poet. And from then on, I really loved that someone had recognized the poems that I wrote and put all over the house. So I really enjoyed writing. What encouraged me most was in school. I loved all those stories that we had to read, you know, Dick, Jane, and Sally. I loved all the illustrations and the fairy tales because Dick, Jane, and Sally was a fairy tale. Let's face it, to a kid who grows up on a farm in Quebec, that was a big fairy tale. And whenever I got a chance, I'd go into the library and read Beatrix Potter. And later, in grade 9, my English lit teacher, Vincent Call, he was very instrumental. And he said, you know, Judy, I love your story. Will you please write a few for the yearbook? And so each year, I got one of my stories published in the Knowlton High School annual, as we called it. And that encouraged me. He was very influential, actually, in driving me to this writing activity. And, you know, Mom wanted me to be a teacher, and she pushed me in that direction. Not sure it was the best job for me, but that's where she sent me. And she was worried because I wasn't interested in the usual things that little girls, French-Canadian girls, were interested in at the time. And she said, well, you better get a job and support yourself because I don't know who's ever going to marry you. That was a little odd. But ironically, I ended up getting married when I was 22. So didn't need to be a teacher, according to the Quebec culture at the time, I guess.
How would you describe your writing to someone who hasn't read your work yet?
My writing is a bit of memoir. I guess I would call it, compilations of materials about trying to just survive in this very complex world where everything is so connected. And we often don't notice those connections. So it's not necessarily memoirs. It's more writing about things I have at my disposal and then saying, is this good enough to get out there into the world? And so, you know, this last book, the one I'm going to read from in my books, is called Enriched Childhood. And someone said, what is that about? Well, I call it a fictitious memoir. Things happen, like you hear in Enriched Childhood, but they're really, really embellished. So it's a sort of a memoir, but it's also a lot of fiction. I like to make things up. I don't know if you know my history, but I certainly have a lot of writing in my life because after being a teacher, I became a lawyer, and I've written extensively in water and municipal law. I write for the Canadian Institute of Resources Law. I produce a paper every year on a topic they give me, and these are all collected and used for public education. And I also spent 10 years writing for the local Cochrane Times on sustainability and climate change. So this is a little bit different because I'm sort of branching out into fiction and poetry, and it's fun. I'm having fun is what I like to say.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. I didn't realize any of that. Definitely you're a successful woman.
I've been extremely busy my entire life.
That is good.
It's been a good life. I can't complain at all. So it's been wonderful to have, there's a little saying somewhere, I'm not sure who wrote it, that it's always good to get up in the morning and realize you have the skills to work and you have the work to use your skills on. Mm-hmm. And I guess that would be how you describe my life.
I like that. Now you have another work, Lady's Slipper, that includes both prose and poetry. What draws you to those forms of expression?
Lady's Slipper, I wrote down an answer to all the information on Lady's Slipper. And really, Lady's Slipper came about because my sister, Gay Granry, she's an author in Quebec, and she was getting her book launched and asked me if I would do readings from her book out here in Cochrane. And I said, sure, why not? It sounded like fun. And so I took some of my poetry to the library and I said, my sister has this book and what I can do is read one of her books, one of her poems from her book, and then read one of mine. And the library loved that because, of course, they all know me here. I used to be the mayor and was on council for 6 years. So they were delighted that I was coming to read poetry. I'm a little big fish in a little pond is how I like to describe it. I went and did this reading and people loved my poetry and said, why don't you write a book? So I gathered up all of this poetry and short stories from when I would write back and forth to my sister Dave and put them in this book, Lady Poopa. And it really is just for fun. It was something to try, something I'd never done before. And, I dedicated it to Gay because she's been my inspiration throughout my life to do the best I can do. I don't think she was thrilled with me writing the book as quickly as I did, but, you know, I'm not someone, you know, this expression, just do it from Nike. I think I was saying just do it long before they captured that for their sporting equipment.
Wonderful philosophy on life. Memory seems to me an important theme in your writing. Why do you think it resonates so much?
I think Quebec is the reason why. I've actually got a little poem that I'm going to be submitting through right here, right now. That's called Tension. And it talks about how I'm French Canadian, how I really don't have a choice about how I write, how I behave. And this comes from my early upbringing in a family, such a large family. And so I hope when that comes out, because it's a poem from to be printed in a newspaper if it's accepted. And I thought that really speaks to my life and my journey and how I'm out here in Alberta, but really still so tied to the Quebec rural farm life that I grew up in. And it's been a real inspiration to me all my life to write about the things that were there, like the mountains and the water and the history of that area.
Okay, so rural Quebec has really shaped you as a writer then.
Oh, absolutely. And I think right now, one of my favorite authors is Louise Penny. And how I came to read one of her books, my husband goes to the library every week and brings home stacks of books, and he and I read them. And one day he brought home Louise Penny, and he said, you might like this author because she writes about Eastern Townships. And so I got hooked on her writing. And what amazed me most about her writing from Knowlton in Quebec is that she knows the people so well. She understands all the struggles and the insights and how people are and how they behave. And I have to say, the first book I read of hers, I laughed my head off because I can see those characters. I remembered them and where they lived and how they shared things. It was really a lovely time. It was a journey back. And so since then, I look out for all her books. Whenever there's one, I read them. I find it fascinating. As well as Stephen Gobby, I think that's how you say his last name. He is a Quebec writer, and he recently told me about his book Zola, so I read that, and that's out of Bedford. And once again, I was intrigued by, you know, how he captures that personality from Quebec that's really, really different than anywhere else across the country. So I've lived in 4 different provinces, and you know, he really captures that Eastern Township mentality, being suspect of authority figures and driving to do your best, like even in the hardest of times. I really like the way he's done that, even though both Louise Penny and him are talking about these, you know, murder kind of mysteries or police operations. They're capturing the people and the feelings of how people interact with one another in Quebec. It's just lovely.
Mm-hmm. How has growing up in rural Quebec affected you as a writer?
Well, I think it's made me determined. And also not shy. It's a little bit more courageous, I think. When I first moved out here, when I was very, very young, I was 22 when I came to Alberta, and I was taking makeup classes so I could be a teacher here. I'd been a teacher in Quebec before, but my diploma wasn't sufficient to teach out here. So I took makeup courses. One of the first ones I took was a sociology course. And of course, it was just after the Quebec revolutionary stuff, FLQ, and the War Measures Act. And to listen to how Albertans, these young students, were talking about it was infuriating. And I spent most of my time sitting on my hands so I wouldn't start getting excited and waving them around to let them know where I was from. And it was really, really a culture shock to come here where people are, they're very cautious, very conservative, and not in your face. So I would say I'm the antithesis, is that I'm very in your face. I'm very approachable, very passionate kind of speaker. And it's made me a great public speaker in Alberta, but it's really just me. My daughter says, that's just my mom. That's just how she is. It's not, she's not doing anything special here. So I guess it is who I am, right? It's who you are and how you present yourself to the world.
Now, you have a book launch coming up on May 2nd at Brome Lake Books in Knowlton. What can people expect when they come out?
Well, I guess I hope that they're entertained is the first thing. I will be doing readings, both from both the books, and I'm also going to quickly introduce a little children's story that it's just about published. It's just getting put out there. I guess what they can expect is if they want to have a book signed, I'm happy to do that. I will tell little stories, of course, before each of the readings that I do. I'm hoping that there will be someone there who has read some of my work and they'll ask me to read a certain sequence. It's been a pleasure doing readings out here in Alberta because people do ask me, they say, please read this one out loud. I've been reading it, but it doesn't really make sense to me. So after I read it, then they all are quite excited about how it's been put together and why. So I guess that's what they can expect. I hope they'll have fun. I'm hoping to have a little bit of fun and share some of my insights into the world, actually. That's what writing is about.
Do you have a favorite passage or moment from your book?
Do I have a special one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, I have the one from Lady Flipper that really describes what my poetry is. I call it flotsam. And it's called, I think it's called Words. Not sure. It's in Lady Flipper anyway. It's a little poem and it's about 3 lines long. So I think I can remember it, but maybe not. And it's just saying that it's the flotsam. My writing is the flotsam. The words that come to the surface out of everything else that I have inside me, these are rising to the top. And using these words to teach people and to tell them things and share information, that's what my writing is for, is flotsam. I like to think of it as that. Most of my work has been around water, and it has a very special place for me because it's so unpredictable. And so there are a number of writings in my books about water, how the duck pond, starting in the duck ponds from when I was a little kid, and right through to my professional life, was mostly writing about water. So here's the song, here's the poem. It's on page 31 of Lady Flipper under the chapter of Canadian imagery. It's called Trans-Canada. Words pour forth, pour forth. They pour out from some deep, rich fullness within. Oh, words, blanketing the surface with colorful flotsam of my human soul. And that's basically my favorite passage.
It's beautiful. Where do you usually like to write? Do you have a special spot where you like to write?
Absolutely. As you know, I had an office as a lawyer. And the last few years, I finally retired in 2020. And my little office has had many uses by different people in my family, but it became mine and it's cluttered with all kinds of trumpery and junk. This is where anything of mine that no one else wants to see gets stored. And so I write here in my little office. It's got a big picture window looking out into my neighborhood. we've lived in the same neighborhood for 46 years. And best thing about my office and why I've grown to love it so much is that I had a dog. She lived to be 18. Her name was Fred. And she would come and lie under my feet. And I'd put my feet up there. And somehow having Fred with me encouraged me to write things, to see this project through, I guess you could say. And then finally she passed away and I had another little dog, Gracie. And even though it was never planned, she would end up there under my feet and she would stay there. They never moved. They never budged, barked. They never moved. And while I was sitting, they would lie there. But the minute I stood up, we were busy. So it has a lot of memories in this room. The birth and death of my children, pictures on the wall, all the trumpery and from when I was on town council and on my ego wall, you know, all my degrees. And it's a good place that's full of all kinds of joy.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Where can readers get your book or your books? You have two of them.
My books are all on Amazon. And also Barnes & Noble and Chapters Indigo, mostly online. In Brome County, the Brome Lake Books have a number of my books for sale. If anyone's interested in getting a book from Brome Lake Books, just let me know and I'll make sure they have more there. So they're widely available. Unfortunately, I had to use Amazon. I didn't want to have to use Amazon, but they're probably the best way of getting your books out into the world. Hopefully, people can find it one way or another. Certainly online, they're easy to get. If you have a Prime membership, the shipping is free, so it makes it a little bit cheaper than if you get it from Barnes & Noble, which is very expensive.
Any advice for people who have their own stories but haven't started writing yet?
We'll have a few copies of all my books with me when I do the reading. So if people come and they're interested in getting one from me, I do bring them and sell them and sign them right there at a discount. So anyone who, what would you say to someone who has a story and wants to get it out there? I would say, just do it. You know, it's really, really important for people to not be what I would say cautious, overly cautious. It can hurt your feelings, of course. If you write a book and nobody likes it, well, of course. I mean, but how do you know no one's going to like it if you don't try? So I think that was something that was drilled into us as children. If you don't try, you can never fail. If you don't try, you can never succeed. But you have to try. So I say, seize the day. Why wait for spring? Do it now. I would say, do it. Writing is a business and it is a career. Many, many people have spent their entire lives, like Margaret Atwood, for example. And she is a writer. She's an author. That's what she did. She spent most of her time investing in writing. But that doesn't mean other people can't write their stories. It means that we have to be aware that the really famous authors out there have put a lot of time and energy into it. They've spent years and years studying for this, being rejected, going to talks and shows and, you know, selling themselves as people who have information that others might want to learn. And basically, if you come onto the scene after another career, or if you have a story that you want to tell, you might be a little shy to be in with these great authors, but you don't have to be. People like me are never going to be Margaret Atwood, but we can certainly have a lot of fun. And we certainly have things to share, things to say that others might be interested in hearing. So I would encourage them to just do it. We might not have an agent. We might not become famous and make a living from this, but the joy in doing it is sufficient unto itself. That's all we need, is the joy of it.
We've been talking with Judy Stewart, Canadian author. She grew up in the Knowlton-Cowansville area. She's in Alberta now, and she's coming to the Brome Lake Bookstore on May the 2nd to do some reading from her books, and that will be from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, I believe. You have two books, Enriched Childhood, and the other book is Lady Slipper. Is that correct, Judy?
That's right.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Actually, I really appreciate the time you spent with me today, and your questions were wonderful to help me prepare some of my responses. And the last question was, if you could sum up your book and your writing in one word, what would it be? And I would say joy. That would be the word. So thank you. It's been very, very fun to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Wonderful message, Judy. We've been talking with Judy Stewart, and thanks very much, and all the best on your writing.
Bye-bye now. I appreciate it.
Bye. And next up, we have some health news here for you on the Townships at 12. Now, as we move through April, many of us are enjoying the signs of spring. But for some, it also means the return of hay fever. With trees starting to bud and pollen levels rising, symptoms like sneezing, itchy eyes, congestion, and fatigue can begin to show up, even before the leaves are fully out. And this year, with milder temperatures, allergy season may start a little earlier and last a bit longer. The good news is that there are simple ways to manage symptoms. Keeping windows closed on high pollen days, showering after spending time outdoors, and using over-the-counter antihistamines can all help reduce discomfort. Some people also find relief using saline nasal sprays to clear pollen from the nasal passages. It's also important to know the difference between allergies and a cold. Allergies don't usually cause fever, and symptoms tend to persist as long as you're exposed to triggers. If your symptoms are severe or not improving, it's a good idea to speak with a healthcare provider about additional options. So, as you head outside to enjoy the fresh spring air, just be mindful. Your body might be reacting to more than just the change in season. And that's our health news today on the Townships at 12. I would like to thank my guests on the show today. In the first half hour, Alexander Galtz, drama and visual arts teacher, Olivia Louise Grenier, and three of her students. Don't miss the play at Galt on April 16th, 17th, or 18th. And again, the play is called Myth Understood. Tickets are only $9, and you can buy them at the door. And in the second part of today's show, Canadian author Judy Stewart, who grew up in the Knowlton area and coming back on May 2nd to the Brome Lake Bookstore to launch her book called Enriched Childhood. And if you belong to a nonprofit organization and you have an activity coming up or an idea for an interview, please email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. The Tuesday show is repeated at noon on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, and we will close with a song by local music artist Sarah Biggs, and the song is called Ode to Iron and Wine. You've been listening to the Townships at 12 here on The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM, the voice of the Eastern Townships.
Caught in the rays of sunshine, how did you know when to write that word? Like it's never been known, like it's never been heard before. And it's more than my heart could bear. Sweet unknown, words whispered like a warning or a prayer. Sing but a whisper, if singing out loud would break the spell. Iron and wine, show me sweet divine. I would love you to show me the secret door. Your mind goes through when you play those chords. Wander so freely through the land.